For those of you who have your Bibles or your phones, I'm going to be reading from Luke 5, verses 37 to 39. And you'll probably be, you know, familiar with this. And it says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilt, and the wineskins will be ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. Both are preserved." Amen. You know, when, I don't know, everyone heard the word that Lauren gave at the beginning of the service, where she was saying that God was saying, you need to clear out your closet, you clear out your wardrobes, or clear it out. And I just thought, yeah, because, you know, what if God's got some really good new things to fill your wardrobe with, guys? And I just had this thought, so it's true. God wants to give us new things. He's pouring out new wine. Doing something new, but we need to let go of the old. You know, I love what God is doing right now, and he's really moving. Have you not noticed, in a really new way? Because revival is coming. It's already beginning. He's pouring out his spirit, especially amongst our young and our youth. Who enjoyed seeing the youth preach the other day? It was just so encouraging. And he's doing a new thing. He's getting rid of old mindsets, old wineskins, old thought patterns, because he's pouring in the new. And we're not, you know, the new wine will not be able to be poured in the old. Amen. There's a famous saying, and you may have heard of this already, by a man called Eric Hoffer, and he said this: in times of change, who believes we're in the time of change? Anyone? We're in a time of change, aren't we? So much change. So in times of change, learners inherit the whole earth, while the learned are beautifully prepared for a world that no longer exists. God is really revealing things of himself in this season, in this new era, that he's never revealed before. The more you know about him, the more you'll know about you. Because we're made in his likeness, and we need to stay humble, teachable, trusting God so that we press in and catch on to what he's doing, because God is moving powerfully. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and it was about the women's breakfast. And she said how important and beneficial and freeing it is to meet with women. And as we were talking, I found myself saying to her, well, that often happens in the early stages of your walk with God, and that as you mature, you know, men and women are able to meet together comfortably, vulnerably. And as I was saying this, my discernment kicked in. And in the spirit, I just thought, that doesn't sound right anymore. It doesn't sound true. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, look how many women are gathering. Look, you know, at the women's breakfast. We've had such an amazing turnout. Look at how many men are gathering at the men's breakfast. God is doing something new. And I felt like God was saying, I'm teaching women how to be women and men how to be men. This is what God's doing. And I felt him saying that, there's a time, this is the time, there is a new move of God that is here now, where there's been so much confusion with regard to identity and gender, and God is gathering women, daughters, all generations. The same with men, all generations, the old, the young, and all together. And I feel that there's this new awakening. God wants us to be mothers, and he wants us to be fathers. He doesn't want us to be aunts and uncles, because there's a big difference between a mother and a father and an aunt and an uncle. He wants us to be present. That's, mothers and fathers should be present. They take responsibility for their children. They take accountability for their children. They teach them to love. They teach them in love. They teach them how to love God and who they're called to be. You know, if you look at the book of Proverbs, it's all about my son. or my daughter, you know, teaching them how things will go well in their lives, you know, how to gain wisdom. And aunts and uncles are great, you know, they're great to have fun, they're great to, you know, maybe talk to them about things that you might feel you can't talk to your parents, but they're not always present. They're there to give advice, and that is helpful in some cases, but they're not there when things get tough, when things are hard. You know, we heard, you know, don't, you know, all those words like don't give up, moms. You know, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to keep your love on all the time. But that's what being a mother is. It's like you stand firm no matter what the circumstances, love for your children. Same with the father. And finally, just going off on a different tangent, but just bear with me. I finally got to watch the Barbie movie. Anyone else watch the Barbie movie? Girls out there, yeah. You know what? When that came out, I was thinking, I'm definitely not watching that. I was like, really? Like, no, I don't want to watch this. This is of the world. And what happened was, I went to a leaders conference a few months ago, and a few people that I really, you know, were just, you know, men and women of God, were talking about the Barbie movie. And I was thinking, what are they talking about the Barbie movie for? And the stories that they shared were surprising, and I was compelled to watch it. And someone actually shared with me that they watched the Barbie movie with the whole family, and afterwards they were just weeping. And as a family, they were just weeping and praying, trying to figure out what had just happened. To the point cleaners were coming in and like trying to clean, but they were like, don't worry, you just stay there, just have your time. And literally they stayed 20 minutes after the film had finished. And by the time they came out, there were four cleaners waiting for them outside. And they actually said, they were women, they were said, oh, how did the film impact you? And each woman had their story to share and filled up with emotion. And I was like, okay, I need to watch this film. And as I watched it for myself, there were parts where it really spoke to me too. And it's funny how God will use non-Christian things to speak to us, isn't it? Because we're all, after all, made in God's likeness, whether you know it or not. And God used this film to give language to how women and men are feeling right now. And what I got from it was that over the years where women had to, you know, fight for the vote, the whole Women's Liberation Act, the rise of feminism, women going to work, fighting for equality. You know, we've been on this journey and where the role of women and men have been evolving so much. As we look back, how much things have changed. And we're living in a time where women are mothers, women are career women, women are entrepreneurs, women are beautiful, women are multitaskers, can do anything, can everything. To be honest, it's pretty exhausting being a woman, don't you think? And just like the Barbie movie, it was like, you can be anything. And the focus has been on women in the last few decades because things have changed so much over the years where women have evolved. I suppose, you know, women have been trying to be equal in a world where laws have actually been made by men. Because women have had to fight to be seen, to be counted. We learn, this is for myself, we learn in order to win and be ahead, we had to be like men. So women tended to be overpowering, controlling, and manipulative. The rise of feminism, you know, putting down men who didn't measure up, leading like a man instead of like a woman. And it's got quite distorted, quite ugly, both for men and for women. And we see women coming, you know, in my life, I know, like see women coming against women, and there's jealousy, there's rivalry, there's gossip, and which, you know, I really don't like that, and it's not what God is calling us to. But what I'm seeing now, I'm seeing women in the next generation like rising up in a new way. And I'm beginning to see beautiful women who love women, who were creative, entrepreneurial, mothers and women who celebrate other women. And it's really beautiful. You know, I'm starting to see that. Anyone else seeing that? And two of the key things that spoke to me in this film was, one, the stereotypical Barbie didn't know who she was anymore. And that song by Billie Eilish, which played over and over, "What Was I Made For?" And it's a powerful cry. The world are waiting for us to let them know, what are they made for? Number two, the second point, was when in the film, the creator of Barbie said this to Barbie. "Want to be a mother who can stand still so daughters can look back and see how. I want that for your daughter. Sure, our mum did the same for us. Things have changed so much. And the truth comes back to the very beginning in Genesis 1:26-28. Where God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You see, God created men and women in his likeness. They were created to rule and reign together. We are made in his image. God created men and women to rule and reign together. And for each to bring their strengths and their gifts. You know, like a mother, what she brings to her children, to the family, is different to what the father brings to the children, to the family. It's like the body. We all have different parts to play. You know, we have different gifts. The eyes have their gifts and purpose, and the feet have their gifts and purpose. We're not to compete or to compare or try and be the same. That word that Salman Horan brought last week about being authentic and not comparing ourselves to others is a now word. We ought to be all that God created us to be, not to be like someone else. When we're all working according to our gifts, there's unity. There's a scripture which I came across, I didn't even know it was there. Ephesians 4:16 says this: "He makes the whole body work and fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So when, Sam, you are operating in what you're called to be, in your gifts, it actually causes others to grow. Amen. Lauren, when you're doing that, it causes those around you to grow. Linda, it's the same for you. For all of us, you know, when we're just doing what God is calling us to do, to be who we've been called to be. See, for those of you who don't know me, my background is in fashion. And back in the days, I reached like quite a high position and before leaving and starting our own business with my husband. And, you know, I was a career woman for quite a number of years. And back then, I was the main earner in the family. I traveled a lot and, you know, I relied on my husband to do like the typical role maybe a mother did. And I, like many women, you know, I hate this phrase now, but wore the trousers in the house, so to speak. And it became a common saying, you know, who wears the trousers? It's like, that was a common saying. And it wasn't until around 10 or 12 years ago when I started to get serious about God that he showed me that I was meant to submit to my husband. And he showed me that I was meant to love and respect my husband. I was to honour and believe the best in him. I was meant to rule with my husband and not rule over him. I now make decisions with my husband and we lead together. Areas where he is strong and gifted, I submit to him and let him lead. And areas where it's my strength and my gifting, my husband allows me to lead. And the journey so far, we can look back and think, wow, how far we've come. But we just don't stop there, do we? Because God is always moving. He's always progressing. We don't look back and reminisce on the good old days and how it was for us and dismiss and miss out on what God is doing right now. What he's doing in our lives, what he's doing in our church family. He is shaking us up. It's easy to look at the world in the eyes of the world, making judgments according to our own understanding and experiences. And if we're not careful, look, we'll be stuck and we'll miss out on what God is doing, because God is doing something new, guys. Don't get stuck in the old. The past, just let it go. Let it go. Don't get in the way of others' growth. Don't put a lid on other people's lives, your children's. Just because you went through that hardship doesn't mean your children are going to go through the same. You can show them a better way. It was a fresh water, a fresh anointing. And I really feel like God is wanting to uproot and tear down the lies we've believed, because he wants to replant and rebuild on him, on his truth. And I, you know, for those of you, I got this word like a few months ago, and it was renaissance, which means rebirth. And that's what God is doing. He's doing a new thing. We're entering it into a new era. You're going to be saying things just like I was when I was chatting with my friend. It's like, oh gosh, that doesn't sound true anymore. You know, things are moving forward. God is never changing. His truth is always the same, but he would do something new in a new way. And if we just think, oh, we'll sit back on what he did in the past, we're going to miss out on what the new is. That question, what are you made for? Are we made for? Ephesians 2:10. But we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Time to rise and shine and show and tell the world, your family, your schools, your workplaces, tell the world who they are, their purpose and their destiny. The world is lost, guys, and God has a redemption plan for all of us. It's his will that none should perish. He loves you and he loves others. Others that don't look like you or sound like you. Others that are so far away from him. And even those who are close and in between. Don't love people. How are you going to influence? You don't carry hope. How are you going to release hope to others? The darkness is only there so you can be the light. If you're working in a place and it feels dark, then arise and shine. You're there to be the light. If you're the only Christian in your family, then arise and shine. You know, bring that light in that dark place. The world needs to see our light. The glory of the Lord is upon you. It's upon you. It's upon you, and he wants you to glorify him in your lives. You know, the refining, the sifting, the shaking of the last season is to prepare us to carry this new anointing. It's time to arise, so stop fighting God. Stop resisting him, ignoring him, arguing with him. He wants our obedience. wants us to lead and disciple others in love, from a position of love.
Yeah, he wants us to lead and disciple others in love. Yeah, and not from fear. Because God teaches us a better way. It's from a position of love, a position of patience and kindness, wisdom, to build up and to tear down, to see the gold in others, you know, to see the gold in our children, to encourage and not to discourage. It's so easy, isn't it, when you're, you know, being a parent, to not have fear for your children, because you naturally love them and you start to fear for, you know, what's going to happen to them. And we can often discourage instead of encourage. God wants us to raise up giant killers like King David, like Queen Esther, those who are willing to lose their lives for God's kingdom. He says, daughter, son, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm with you and will never leave you. I've got you and you're on the winning side. God did not create us to live in a box or wrapped up in cotton wool. Because when you do that, you're not really living the life that Jesus died for us to live. Did you know he created us to do good works? And those good works could change the world, could change your family, could change your communities, could change your workplaces, wherever you're at. If you're getting stirred up, it's because the truth is setting you free. Well, the truth is that you can do all things, like we sang, in Christ who strengthens us. And well done, guys. You know, you're created to be a fire starter, not a fire snubber. You know, often we can do that, don't we? In our own idea of wisdom. But it's actually rooted in fear. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to, as I mentioned, a leaders' conference, and God gave me this prophetic word. And I saw a picture, and it was a dark room, dusty. It's like, hadn't seen any light of day. And then I saw these old boxes. It was like, you know, like you just got old boxes that with things in storage. And in this picture, I started to see a lid come off. And inside, I saw dynamite, and then I saw the dynamite being ignited, and it just took off through the roof and out into the sky, setting it alight. And I felt God was saying that he is taking the lid off the lies that you've believed, and he is reigniting your hearts, and he is setting you alight. That's going to break through ceilings, that you're going to be a light to many so that they can see the God you serve. He's taking you out of hibernation where you've been hidden. You're called to rise and shine. You're not just some little candlelight, guys. You're dynamite. You know what dynamite does? It blows things up, guys. Can you imagine wherever you walk and the kingdom is coming and people are being healed, people are being delivered, people are being set free? That's God's kingdom. You're a dynamite and he's setting us alight, guys. And I love this move that God is doing. I love seeing what's happening in Basildon. God is reconciling his children. To see the youth preach was just so amazing. As a parent, I was like, I want that for my children. Anyone else wanted that for their children? God is doing such a beautiful thing. We need to catch on to it, what's happening, and don't dismiss the young. You know, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. One of the stories, you know, that always comes to mind when I see God pour out onto our children, our young ones, was, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the first time I heard of it, I was like, wow, this is amazing. There was a French revival in the 17th century, and it's called, I might pronounce this wrong, but the Huguenots of southern France. And the Christians were being really badly persecuted, like the worst stories ever. But God was moving amongst the children, and stories of boys and girls as young as three, boys and girls as young as three would preach articulate messages in polished French. They didn't even speak French. Children would speak profound words, quoting scriptures. And the crazy thing was, a lot of the children were illiterate. This was a move. This happened. It was a phenomenal. There's another story of a baby, 6 months old, feeding on the mother's breast, came away and started to prophesy, calling for people to repent. The baby couldn't even speak, yet there were stories after stories. God is the God of impossible. God is the God of the new. He is always moving forward. He is doing things new all the time. Can I just get the band? Let me just look at the time. Actually, I've got lots of time. Maybe I'll just take a bit more time. Yeah, Lord Jesus. I just really feel like maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck and you're just like, God, I'm just stuck. Nothing's changing. And I just feel like God is saying, now is your time.